So I'm Ramon Hernandez, and today I'm not going to be presenting on my work at UC San Diego. If you want to go see that, we have three posters, so look those up. But really to present the work that I've been working on my dissertation. And so in the next 15 to 20 minutes, I'll be trying to capture what I've been doing with San Diego City Schools for the last 5 years. And my question really is this concept of implementation and sustainability. And so what my goals are today are really to describe the Mental Health Resource Center at San Diego Unified School District, to discuss barriers and facilitators to school-based mental health services and their implementation, and then to provide some recommendations specifically around sustainability for school-based mental health. So just to start pretty quickly, I'll be taking you sort of through the steps of my research. You know, nationally we know a lot of the data that's happening around mental health in kids and children. And so for my population of interest, I've always worked with adolescents and with young adults. So I was very interested in looking at mental health, specifically at the middle school and high school age group. So it's a nice follow-up to the elementary model that we just heard about. And so what you have here is just some of the national data that talks about, you know, major depressive episodes, depression, suicidality that's happening with this group of 12 to 17-year-olds in the U.S. Similarly, in California, there's a mirror to the national data, where about 21% of California teens are showing at risk for depression, and it increases as they go up the high school ladder. Major depressive episodes, then, you know, it's the third cause of suicide in California. And then when we go to San Diego, similarly, about 30% of seventh graders and ninth graders and 31% of 11th graders are showing signs of depression and hopelessness. And then if they're in an alternative school setting, the rates are much higher. And then when we look at utilization, as we heard just a few minutes ago, it's pretty low. So whether you're looking at national or if you're looking at the local level, it's not very high utilization. And then if we look based on gender, that male teenagers are utilizing mental health services even less than females. So there's also this disparity that needs to be addressed. So the questions that really started coming up is, where do we start addressing these issues and what do we do? And so for me, it was really looking at schools as a great environment to address this issue. We know that there's, you know, it's where we know the kids are for the majority of their day and for a lot of their life. We know that those who fail to complete their secondary education probably have a diagnosable psychiatric disorder. There's a significant gap. These issues of mistrust and stigma, past experiences, particularly in professional settings, have created this environment of whether they do or do not access mental health. And then we also know that schools currently are really the most common place for accessing mental health. So about 21% of students who are accessing mental health are getting them at a school. And then if you add community-based services to that, that increases to about 35%. And then going back to the disparity in gender, males are more likely to access services in the school setting than in the community setting. So that's another thing that we add to this mix. And then there's obviously national policy that's supporting school-based mental health. There's also policy statements from National Academy of Pediatrics and the Nursing Association. And then there's multiple approaches that are being done around the country on how to do this. And this is Adelman's work out of UCLA, that, you know, that there are basically five major models. And then what was happening in San Diego when I started this work 5 years ago is that they were already doing this work for 10 years. And so for me really was this question of how have they been able, as a large urban school district, been able to sustain this model and the system and these services for so long. And they really do a hybrid of all of these five. So because it's such a big school district, they do a lot of these different kinds of levels. And so I worked with San Diego Unified and with the Mental Health Resource Center, which is kind of the umbrella for for all the services, the mental health services within the school district. My two research questions were really around how they did it, how they were able to implement, and how they were able to sustain. And then the follow-up question was, what were the key factors that allowed them to sustain all these services? So my methods, again, talking about my dissertation, I created an explanatory case study. My data was a lot of documents, a lot of archival records. And then the third were interviews. I did 20 stakeholder interviews across the state and in San Diego and with teachers. And then I did 15 student-parent dyad interviews. So high school students who at some point received services from Mental Health Resource Center and their parent. And so I did those interviews separately. So as you can imagine, lots of transcribing and a lot of paper. So as I looked at the theory that I just kind of wanted to help frame the work that I'm doing, similarly to what we just heard, I really was looking at the system, this school as a system, not as these individual programs that have already been studied and are being seen as evidence-based programs, but how the system was able to sustain all this work. And so I really kind of embraced this international model that's being done in Europe, Middle East, and is starting to be used here in the U.S. around health systems, which is the Pettigrew and Witt model. And what they did is that they really look at three different levels. They look at content as to what is impacting the system. They look at process, how that system is being changed. And then they look at context and really divide that into two other levels. So they're kind of four axes as to why the system is actually being successful and what are the political, economic, and social factors. And then to organize it, I use FICSIN's implementation continuum to kind of look at all the different stages of implementation through the 10 to 15 years that I was doing the study. So quickly, my findings, as I used the implementation continuum, I organized it into three periods. That there was really this planning and early implementation, there was a full operation and innovation, and then a sustainability institutionalization period. One of the things that was very, very important to San Diego was that they had an incredibly strong collaborative model when they already started the Mental Health Resource Center. And one of the big grants that started this work of sort of doing system-wide mental health was the Safe Schools Healthy Student Grant out of the Department of Education and the Department of Justice. And so this collaborative model that worked with all the elements within the school district, with key community-based partners, and then also, very importantly, with public agencies, the police department, the juvenile justice system, the probation, and the county. And so all of these partners worked together under the MHRC, and then it was also, because of the funding, was evaluated over a five-year period. So I looked at the process, content, and context throughout those five phases and through the three periods. And then just some very quick ones, like during this exploration and adoption phase, you know, facilitators around this was that there was a very strong vision within San Diego that there was a need for mental health services. So there was already leadership within the school district to really move this forward. Obviously, there were barriers in the sense that there weren't policies in place to support the full implementation. So though there was definitely a tension that was happening there, and then obviously the data systems weren't in place to collect mental health-based data compared to education data. So these are things that they started to work through. During the installation phase, they got funded through Safe Schools Healthy Students, and then they were able to hire the manager and the director of the Mental Health Resource Center. And that, I think, is another key learning from San Diego, is that they hired someone who actually had been working with county mental health and who already understood all the systems at all these different levels to organize them and sustain them within an education system. So that was actually a very key decision in the sustainability of this, of the MHRC. During implementation, they developed champions. They worked really, really hard on the recruitment and selection of staff. And in particular, in looking at the population in San Diego and making sure to hire culturally competent staff that really could work around mental health with the population in need in San Diego. When we moved sort of on to the next period of operation and innovation, at this time there really was just a full expansion of all the services. When MHRC started, there were about 20 staff. At this point, they're up to about 60, 65 staff working at elementary, middle, and high school, but really focusing on middle and high school and really focusing on tertiary and secondary services. And so they were doing some universal, but they were really looking at those students who were in most need and most vulnerable for mental health. And so at this point, one of the major policy pieces that happened in California was the Proposition 63, which other folks at this conference and previous have covered, which was the 1% tax on millionaires and other folks that would go to developing mental health services in the state of California. So there was a pot that was created specifically around treatment, and which over the years has now started to include also prevention. And so that's part of the work that's been going on. Around innovation, again, expansion, some of the barriers that always were sort of, they were always facing was this piece around data, right? How to kind of blend the two and really get the outcomes to support the work that they're doing and to really have a well-trained staff to continue the work that they're doing. And then specifically to educate and to work with teachers and the education staff so that they could work in partnership. Okay, so those are things that continue to happen. And then around sustainability, which brings us to the present. In this period, there really is an institutionalization of the MHRC. And then another major policy statement that happened in in California is that funding that was set aside for our California mental health services that was going to the county to provide mental health, now school districts could actually go for that funding and implement the services that the county used to be implementing. So because San Diego Unified had already been doing this work for about 10 years, they were already in a good place to undertake that. So the funding that the county was used to be in charge of for school-based mental health service interventions, now the school district was in charge of and also getting that funding. So they went basically through this period of a form of $4 million grant all the way to an institutionalized department that now is at about $16 or $17 million for San Diego Unified. So then I move towards my second research question, which what are the key factors? And I came up with 8, which align with a lot of sort of the national work around implementation factors and sustainability. And here I just wanted to share some of the interviews, you know, parts of the interviews that I was able to complete with both stakeholders and parents and students and talk just very briefly about each of the 8. So definitely this piece around making schools a legitimate place to implement mental health services. Sometimes, you know, we kind of think, oh, of course that makes sense. But there, it has to be a continuous kind of conversation and dialogue that schools are a good place for mental health services to be implemented. And so we can't lose that fact. The second is this piece on aligning mental health and education policies and missions. That takes a lot of work, but it has to be very deliberate between these two, really two systems that are trying to come together to create the same outcome of having healthy and well-educated young people, right? The third is this piece around collaborative approaches that we just heard about, that this research really demonstrated this very important need to work outside the box and work with many partners to make this sustainable. Fourth is this piece around data and to really work with evaluators, university partners, other folks to help with this piece around how to collect data, both education, mental health, to support the mission of the education system while improving mental health. Strengthen parent and student involvement. This is ongoing. And so particularly with middle and high school, where parents tend to be less engaged, but how to engage them, continue to engage them in the process of the services that their child is receiving. As I spoke earlier, the importance that they that you're going to lead in this effort, the piece on institutionalizing training and education across the whole district. And so here, quite a few innovative things that San Diego did was, as they were training teachers and training staff and training their own mental health staff, that they saw, you know, that there are all these other people that interact with students, from bus drivers to the maintenance folks to, you know, all kinds of individuals that are part of the school system. And so they started implementing training for all these support staff around mental health, around depression and stigma and how to talk about mental health, ask questions, how you're doing today, wellness, and so on. So to really have this kind of universal approach of who is involved in creating the wellness of the school. And then the last one is really this piece on investment of staff. San Diego Unified really worked quite deliberately in investing in recruitment and training. And after the second year, their turnover rate is like minimal, if it even exists over the last few years. And they're now at about 140 staff members. And so they have become a training site for a lot of the licensed clinical social workers, for our school psychologists, and so there's a whole system that's been put in place to support these efforts. And then the recommendations that I'll be making to to the district in the next month or so, which will be a white paper that I'm creating, are these eight that flow out of the factors that we just talked about. Then now that they're entering this sort of second decade of implementation, this real need to kind of focus on sort of the bottom of the pyramid, right? And look at really universal and how to expand that, because they've been doing such a good job at tertiary and secondary. That there really needs to be an internal policy group, which is something for some reason they haven't established. There's one for the county, there's one for the state, but really within San Diego Unified, that's kind of a missing piece that could bring in different partners to talk about all these different issues that we talked about. To continue expanding collaborations, there's always new partners that can come on board. The work that they did with probation has really diminished expulsion rates and suspension rates in San Diego Unified. When I started this work, there was actually an alternative school for elementary students. Like, San Diego Unified was expelling elementary school kids and sending them to alternative. Because of this work, that no longer exists. And referrals to the alternative high school and middle school have gone down at least 50% over the last 6 to 7 years in San Diego because of this work. You know, this piece on evaluation always comes back to funding, how it's going to get funded. But I think the piece with the partnerships with university is key to this. Continue to increase parent and student involvement and education. Just the ongoing voices of the parents on needing more information. What is mental health? What is going on with my child? I don't really understand what's happening. How do I get services? That the school can really, the district can really do a good, be a leader in this area. Continue to leverage their leadership, integrate and expand more training. And then what they're currently doing is that, particularly because of their sustainability institutionalization, that staff has gone up the ladder, right, a career ladder in a way within the Mental Health Resource Center. So folks who came in as trainees, then maybe were part, you know, a site coordinator, then became a leader within the division. And so just to sort of continue developing that, both managerial and also professional development of the staff and investing in them so that they stay, so that there's continuity of services within the school district. So I did that in 20 minutes on the dot. And so I just want to thank my committee at BU, at Boston University, my committee member at San Diego Unified, obviously all the teachers and staff who gave up their time. UC San Diego School of Medicine, who allowed me during my work to also work on my dissertation. And then obviously all the advocates, parents, and families who gave up their time. So thank you.